I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm, Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, Old and New. I'm having a discussion with Mark Borowski about the connection between two of the top three Harlem Stride piano players, James B. Johnson and Thomas Fats Waller. We've been talking about their collaborations during the 20s, 1920s primarily, writing shows, developing the music of Stride, going into the studio together and making these wonderful recordings. Now we're going to shift to another chapter, which is Waller playing compositions of James B. Johnson.
In 1935, Fats signed a long-term contract with RCA Victor. This was after having had a significant relationship with them in the 1920s. Things slowed down somewhat during the first years of the Great Depression. But in 34, he gets a new manager, Ed Kirkby, and this long-term contract with Victor results. It's significant that in his very first session for Victor, he records A Porter's Love Song to a Chambermaid, which is the classic tune by Johnson and Andy Razoff, one of the many shows that Johnson wrote in the 20s and 30s. Then later in the 1930s, Johnson wrote another show called Policy Kings with Lewis Douglas. One of the tunes from that show he recorded and was also recorded by Fats, and the tune is called Havin' a Ball.
And that sort of wraps up the second chapter of this program, examining the connection between James P. Johnson and Fats Waller. My guest is Mark Borowski. Mark has spent a lot of time researching this music and helping the Johnson family and foundation preserve and spread the memory of James P. Johnson.
Yeah, and it's been completely a labor of love.
So now we shift into the third chapter of this program. Waller died rather unexpectedly at age 39 in 1943. I've heard that James P. took Waller's death rather hard.
Well, I think that's a fair statement. I think the description of that has been somewhat overblown. It's been written, for instance, that Johnson couldn't touch a piano for a week or a month or several months afterwards. But this is clearly untrue because 3 days after Fats' death, Johnson was in the studios and recorded his very moving Blues for Fats, which, if one listens to it closely, It's Johnson's own composition, but he quotes both Waller's Ain't Misbehavin' and Honeysuckle Rose.
Making reference to Honeysuckle Rose and Ain't Misbehavin', the touching, and I do find that quite touching, Blues for Fats, James P. Johnson, very shortly after the death of Fats Waller in 1943. So we mentioned that his death was really a shock to everyone concerned.
Yes, and there was such an outpouring of grief and also affection. His Harlem funeral at the time, I believe, was the largest that the community there had ever known. His father had been a deacon at the Abyssinian Baptist Church, which was presided over by the Reverend Adam Clayton Powell Sr., who was the person who delivered the eulogy at Fats' funeral. And the pallbearers included the likes of James P. Johnson, Don Redman, Clarence Williams, Andy Kirk, and Claude Hopkins. I mean, it was a who's who of Harlem intellectuals and jazz artists at the time.
Or at least a who's who of pioneers of jazz from the 20s.
Yeah, clearly. The Johnson connection there is also interesting. Johnson's career was in decline in the late 30s, and there was an organization formed called the Friends of James P. Johnson, which included names such as Thomas and Anita Waller, Paul Robeson, and the Reverend Adam Clayton Powell. So they both ran in these rather exalted circles of the Harlem Renaissance, and in many respects, both men can be considered as pianists of the Harlem Renaissance.
Thank you. My Fate Is in Your Hands, one of several Johnson recordings of Waller tunes made for Decca Records in 1944, and we heard Johnson's 1943 blues for Fats Waller.